When you realize this morning that we have a God that does all things well, amen, and you know that he lives in your heart and he's in control of your life, it makes facing all the problems in life a whole lot more bearable, amen. It makes it easier to deal with and to focus on. And man, I tell you what, we got a brand new one here this morning, amen. And Sister April and Danny had their baby this week, and Carter, correct?
Yes.
Amen. Sister Tammy's got him. Pretty little healthy baby boy. We just praise God for that. Amen. I'm thankful that he's in the house of God this morning.
Amen.
I'll tell you what, we need to bring him from a little age, and we need to teach him that there's nothing more important than being in the house of the Lord when the doors of the house of the Lord are opened. Amen. Turn in your Bibles this morning with us into Mark chapter number 7. Mark chapter number 7. And y'all, just bear with me this morning. Rainy day yesterday, and in and out of the rain, and sinuses get kicking and making a mess, but we'll get through it. Amen. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, we encourage you to listen to the Spirit of God as it speaks to your heart, as he ministers to you, as he woos you. Listen to the Word of God as it expounds upon who he is and his truths. And then see the people of God that know him, amen, and can witness and testify of his goodness and his mercies. We had a great time yesterday with our senior saints and the rest of the folks that went, and just an awesome time. We missed those of you that weren't there that were able to. And I thank Sister Mary again, and we have told her she's done a great job. She did a great job of planning everything out. She's our handler when we're on the road. She keeps us all on time and organized and going the right way, doing the right things. And she just did an excellent job. We had an excellent meal. Great fellowship together. And meal, we had, what, 38 went? 37? I thought we had 41 and then dropped to 3. Oh, okay. All right. I had 37 went. Had 41 that signed up, and some things happened. A few weren't able to go at the last minute. But we had a great time together. Great fellowship. Good singing last night. Deb told us last night, told me that me, Stanley, and Jimmy would have no excuse this morning because we had good lessons last night, amen. But we did have a great time, the Chuck Wagon Gang. I hadn't heard them. We've got some of the old albums from the originals. That group has been 80 years singing, they said last night, gospel music. But man, what a blessing they were as they sung. And then Dole Lawson and Quicksilver, one of my favorite all-time gospel groups. I think we got about everything that they've ever done, starting back on records and then cassette tapes. And I think we eventually was able to convert it all to CD, buy the CDs of the ones that they had. But they just are a blessing to me. I like to hear them. Their music and everything, and we just had a great time with that. And then I want to thank everyone for all your birthday wishes and the cards and the stuff. I figured something out yesterday. Y'all wanting a new pastor. We figured this out at dinner yesterday. Man, I got in my car Sunday night. There was a great old big cherry cheese pie in there. I mean, that thing that big around. There's probably 10 pounds of peanut butter fudge. I think they're trying to kill me off. Amen. I told y'all before, you know, I'm like a, you know, you put sweets in front of me, I'm like a crack addict. I can't turn it down. You know, I can't refuse it just that way. They just told me I'm diabetic and put me on a pill. And I figured, well, you know, it's the quietest way to get rid of him. Amen. Just sugar him up. Stay mild. But man, it was good. What a way to go. Amen. We enjoyed it. And I just thank everyone for everything. Y'all just blessed me so. If you found Mark chapter number 7, stand with us this morning as we reverence and honor the reading of God's word. We'll begin reading in verse number 31. The Bible says, "And again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears. And he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and saith unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And straightway his ears were opened, and the strings of his tongue was loosed. And he spake plain. And he charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, a great deal, they published it. They were beyond measure astonished, saying, he hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak." Brother Jim, would you take us to the throne of grace? Jesus is a circuit-riding preacher of his day. You know, in early America, they had churches that didn't have an individual pastor, but we had a pastor that might pastor several churches at one time. And this Sunday, he would be at this church, and next Sunday, he would be at the next church, and the following Sunday, he would be at the next church, and he would do that. And he would follow a circuit in preaching and going about and preaching in the various churches in the area. And Jesus was kind of like this, as you see his ministry here, as he's preaching throughout the coast of Galilee, throughout the outskirts of the province of Galilee. He's preaching in all the cities, and if you look at it on a map and you read the cities that he's going to, you can see it's a big arc in which he's going to and what he's preaching around as he's telling folks, and he's trying to get folks to realize and to understand that God's word has been fulfilled and it's been fulfilled in him. But yet he's not ready to fully espouse the fact that he is the Christ, but through the prophets they should see him and should understand and know that certainly this has to be the one that the prophets had preached about and that the prophets had told about. But many rejected him and many turned him away. And as always, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes and the religious crowd were following him and paying attention to what he was doing. And they were trying to destroy him. They're trying to tear him down. Trying to ruin his reputation. They were more interested in not qualifying him and not quantifying him as to being the Messiah as they were justifying themselves by their religion. And we have so many people like that in the world today. They don't want to acknowledge Jesus for who he is, but they want to acknowledge themselves and their own self-righteousness and justify themselves because of some type of religion. Folks, let me tell you, religion has never worked. Religion never will work. Amen? Maybe y'all didn't hear that. Religion has never worked, and religion never will work. Amen? Amen. It takes a personal relationship with a living God, amen, to purchase unto yourself and to attain unto yourself an eternal salvation that comes only through and by Jesus. He's a preaching through the area. He comes back unto the place of this city named Decapolis, and they bring unto him this one that has a need. And it's ironic as we see this transpire and this takes place. The last time that he was in Decapolis. He came there, and as soon as he got off of the boat and stepped on the shore, he was met by an individual that the Bible describes as being fearsome and being untamed in everything. He couldn't be bound by fetters, for he broke them. They call him the Madman of Gadara. Brother Don McCann called him a rude dude in the nude in a really bad mood. Amen. He was naked, and he lived among the tombs, and he would cut himself, and people were afraid of him. But when he seen Jesus, he knew that everything was up. When he met Jesus, he knew it was time to surrender himself unto him, because the demons that were in him could not defeat the one that stood before them. The one that stood before them were stronger than they that abode within him. And let me tell you something this morning, dear friend. There's nothing that has a hold on your life that is stronger than Jesus. Amen. I don't care what you're dealing with, and I don't care what you're going through, but let me tell you what, if you need help in getting through it, you need help getting over it, you need help getting it accomplished, let me tell you, you just call on Jesus. Amen. Amen. He can meet your needs. The last time he was in Decapolis, he met the Madman of Gadara. He cast the devil out of him. And the devils said, we are many. They call us legion. We're many. And they said, don't just cast us out. Cast us into this herd of swine. And when he cast them into the herd of swine, the herd of swine had enough sense to go drown themselves in the sea because of the devils that had took possession of their physical bodies. But mankind doesn't have enough sense to do that. Amen. Mankind doesn't have enough sense to die out to sin. You know, we got to die out to sin. Amen. Amen. To have new life within. Amen. Amen. But we're too proud. We're too stuck up. Last time he was in Decapolis, the herdsmen went into the city and told the folks what had happened. And they came out of the city, and they seen Jesus, and they seen the Madman of Gadara sitting there in his right mind, clothed and conversing with Jesus. And they compelled Jesus to leave. They didn't want nothing. They didn't understand it. And they wanted him to leave. And now, some weeks or months later, Jesus has come back. And when he gets noised about that Jesus has come back, what do? They bring him this individual that has the great need. I tell you what, friends, you need to realize this. The world might reject you when you testify to them, but don't give up. Amen. The world might reject him when you preach about him, but don't give up. Praise God. The first time he was there, they begged him to go. They begged him to leave. They wanted him away from them because he made them feel uncomfortable. But praise God, they seen what had happened in the madman's life. And the next time he come by, they brought an individual to him. Help us again. Don't ever give up handing out tracts. Don't ever give up telling people about Jesus. Amen. They might reject him. They might refuse him. But praise God, when they realize that the only help they have is going to be in him. Nobody else could help that madman, but Jesus helped him. Amen. I believe after Jesus left and they got talking about it, they realized that the pigs wasn't that important. Amen. But what Jesus had did was overwhelming. Amen. I believe they got to talking amongst themselves. Maybe we was foolish in sending him away. You know, the devil will tell you to send him away. Amen. Well, let me tell you this. Jesus can do exceedingly and abundantly above all that you ask or think. Amen. He does miraculous things. And sometimes we fail to see them because we don't want to see them. And we don't want to see him for who he is. But we want to see him in the light and in the way that we want to see him. Jesus comes back. They bring this deaf mute man to him. Jesus takes him apart. I'm glad he deals with us as individuals. Amen. I'm glad he deals with us in privacy. Sometimes in our own heart. I'm glad I don't have to go and confess. Billy Kelly said, go down and sit in an outhouse and talk to a fellow that dresses like mother, and they call him father, and talk to a knothole and tell him about all your problems, and he's going to forgive your sins. He said, hogwash. The only one that can forgive your sins is Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. I'm glad we can call on Jesus, and we know that he knows us individually. He knows us, who we are. He knows you this morning. He knows where your heart is. He knows where your life is. There's nothing that's hidden from him. But he don't make that public to everybody. He deals with you as an individual. And he took this fellow aside, and he was a deaf and a mute, and Jesus explained to him, I believe, is what he was doing. Said, why did he stick his fingers in his ear? Why didn't he just say, here? I believe he wanted him to know what he was going to do. Amen. He touched his ears. He touched his tongue. Amen. And he gave that sigh, that prayer, that groan, that went up to heaven, I believe. And he spoke those words to be loosed. And the man found that he was loosed. And when the people seen it this time, instead of condemning him for what he did, this time, instead of saying, get away from us, this time they begin to publish abroad. And even when Jesus told them not to do it, they done it even so the more. And they began to tell everybody about what Jesus, the Christian Four, used to sing an old song, I Like It. We need to learn. I keep saying this. We need to learn it. He said, and then I told everybody what the Lord had done for me. Yes, I told everybody how he set my spirit free. Well, now I thought to myself I'd keep it quiet. I told it all day and I tell it all night. I want to tell everybody what the Lord has done for me. You ever get that way? Sometimes Jesus has done something. And I'm so extraordinary. It said they were astonished at what he did. Amen. Has Jesus ever done something for you that just utterly had astonished you and you wanted everybody to know what Jesus had done? Let me tell you what, when he saved me, amen, he astonished me that he would save me. Me. He cared enough about me that he would save me. The Bible says they were astonished. And they said, he does all things well. I want to preach to you for just a few, man, hours late. Amen. That was just an introduction. Amen. It might be the conclusion. Praise God. I want to give you this thought this afternoon. You might have to come back this evening. Amen. To hear the points. He does all things well. Amen. Do you know of anything that he has done that he hasn't done well? Let me tell you what, when he spoke a world into existence and he formed the world and he made everything that is in the world and he created the world just like he wanted it to be created, he had done all things well. When God stood back and looked at what he had created, the God said, it is good. And God said, it is good. And God said, it is good. Why? Because when he created the world, he did all things well. It was a perfect world in which we dwelt. And when he formed a man from the dust of the earth, he didn't make him like some abstract creature. He didn't make him like any other being. He made him in his own likeness and in his own image. Praise God. I'm glad this morning that I'm in the likeness, in the image of God. He does all things well. You might think I'm ugly, but praise God, I look like him. I'm in his own image, in his own likeness. Don't ever look at somebody and say they're ugly. Because we're made in the likeness, in the image of God. Amen. I'm glad, Brother Joe, he does all things well. Amen. And he breathed in man. And man became a living soul. The life I live, the life I have, the life I know, I have because he does all things well. Amen. The world didn't give me life. The world can't take my life. Amen. I tell you what, I seen something last night. The bravest person in America. The bravest person in America was the second person that stood up in Oregon and said, I'm a Christian. After he shot the first one. And the third one, after he shot the second one. Amen. All the world can do is destroy this tabernacle of clay in which I dwell. But praise God, only the giver of life can take life away from me, because I have life eternal. Amen. I have life in him. Only the giver of life can make a determination on who's going to heaven and who's going to hell. And trust me, in hell, you'll be living for all of eternity. But you'll be living in torment, dying every moment that you're living. And going through the throes. And just like Brother Charles, that's one of my favorite songs that Brother Charles sings. Man, what a testimony. It just makes the hair stand up on the back of your neck when you think about the people in hell that don't have to be there. And maybe I told them about Jesus. He breathed into man, and man became a living soul. And he placed man in the Garden of Eden. He does all things well. A perfect man in a perfect environment, in fellowship with a perfect God. The Bible says that God came walking through the garden in the cool of the day. Perfect fellowship. Unhindered fellowship. Because there was no sin to break that fellowship. And he walked with man and he talked with man. God has done all things well. But even before the foundations of the world, Brother Joe, he done all things well. Because as God looked ahead in time, he knew that the man that he had created, that he had placed in this perfect world, in this perfect environment, in a perfect body, as a perfect being, would one day disobey and would one day rebel. And he chose his son as the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. 1 Peter chapter 2 tells us. Before the foundation of the world, God had done all things well. But the day came when Satan showed up in the garden and tempted the woman. And she partook of the fruit. And she gave unto her husband. And he partook as well. And they realized, as their eyes were open to sin, that they were naked and they were ashamed. And they made an attempt to cover themselves, but their attempt was feeble. Because when God come walking through the garden, he said, "Adam, Adam, where art thou?" He said, "I hid myself because I was naked." God said, "Who told you you was naked?" He said, "Well, the woman." The woman says, "Well, the serpent." And God said, "That's no excuse. That's no excuse, but because you have disobeyed me, because you have separated yourself from me, life as you know it is going to change. No longer will you be able to dwell in this garden." And he cast them out of the garden, and he set cherubims with swords to guard the entrance to the garden, so that they couldn't return. Because once sin had entered in, and once sin had drove them out, there was no returning. You see, you're separated from God because of sin. But he does all things well. He said, "In pain in travail, the woman will bring forth a child. And her seed shall bruise the head of the serpent, but the serpent shall bruise his heel. You see, God already looked ahead in time and already made plans and preparations, because he does all things well. And one day he sent forth his son into this world to a virgin's womb. Humble and lowly he was born. Humble and lowly he was raised up and walked among us. And humble and lowly, he fulfilled his work as they nailed him on an old rugged cross. And as his blood began to flow, and his blood began to issue forth, redemption for mankind had been purchased. John seen him as he started his earthly ministry. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Jesus asked his disciples, "Whom say ye that I am?" They said, "You're the Christ. You're the hope of mankind. You're the redemption of mankind. There is no other that we can look to. There is no other to look for. You are he." You see, God had already had a plan in place, and he'd done all things well. As Jesus hung there on that cross, and the sin of humanity were placed upon him, and he bore your sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. We deserve to die because of our sin, but he became sin for us who knew no sin, and he bore our sin on that old rugged cross, and he suffered the agony, he suffered the anguish, he suffered the shame that sin brings into our lives in his own body as he hung on that tree. And when he had realized that God the Father had turned his back upon him because of sin, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Because the ultimate sacrifice for sin had been given. And God the Father could not look on God the Son because of sin. Because of my sin. Because of your sin. And he cried, "It's finished. It's finished." You see, friend, I couldn't do nothing. You couldn't do anything to pay the debt of sin that you owe. But Jesus bore it in his own body. Jesus took it his own self so that you wouldn't have to, because you're incapable of dealing with your own sin. God does all things well. It was finished. Plus nothing, minus nothing. Salvation is a simple plan. Believe in thine heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, and that God has raised him from the dead. Confess with thy mouth, and thou shalt be saved. God does all things well. It's plus nothing, minus nothing. It's accepting Jesus Christ. It's accepting his perfect sacrifice for the redemption of your sin. He does all things well. They laid him in a borrowed tomb. And everybody thinks he's laying in there for 3 days waiting around. He was busy. He'd been into the bowels of the earth, and ascended and let the saints that were held captive there, the saints that couldn't go to glory, they were in paradise. He preached unto them repentance. They accepted him. They accepted his sacrifice. And through his sacrifice, they were able to enter into the glory world. He does all things well. And he preaches to us today. Through men like me, through people like the Christians who witness and testify to you, that it was finished years ago. The debt has been paid. And all that we need to do is ask Jesus into our heart. And he'll save us. He'll redeem us for all of eternity. He does all things well. He said he would save to the uttermost those that come to him. He also said, how shall we be saved? How shall we have hope? How shall we find eternal life if we neglect so great a salvation? Friends, they neglected Jesus. They rejected him when he was there the first time. But they had no promise that he was coming back the second time. They had no guarantee that he would pass their way again. He's passing through this place this morning and he's speaking to hearts. He's speaking to lost souls this morning. And he wants you to know that what he did the first time, what you've seen him do, and what you realize that he's done in other people's lives, he can do in your life. What he done for the madman of Gadara, he can do for you. What he did for the deaf mute man, he can do for you. What he did for those who were dead in their sins and trespasses in the past, he can do for you. But you have no promise that he's going to pass by your way again. He's here today. Amen. Christian, you've seen him do great things. But are you telling everybody what he's done? Are you witnessing? Are you letting the world know what Jesus has done? He's passed by this way this morning. Give you an opportunity to come out and say, you know, the first time they run him off. The second time they come to him. They humbled themselves. First time in their pride, they chased him away. The next time he come, they were publishing and proclaiming how great works he does. Friends, he does all things well. Brother Jim, Sister Mary, get us a song.